Hello again and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Scott Fitzsimmons, and every month we get a chance to talk to some people that are working together with Options Pregnancy Center, and we have got Executive Director Candy Cloudeman. It's great to have you back here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
It's great to talk to you again. Tell us how things are going with the Options Pregnancy Center in the new year. Has anything changed over the change from 2018 to 2019?
Well, I don't know about change so much, but I do know that there's been a new development with regard to people that take the abortion pill, the first of the set of them, and then experience some deep regret for their choice.
Yep.
And so what I'm talking about is called the abortion pill reversal protocol. The abortion pill reversal protocol is a protocol of the hormone progesterone that has to be administered by a doctor. And if a woman is seeing that she's facing regret after having taken the first of the abortion pill, if it's still within 72 hours of having taken that first pill, there's a helpline. She can call the abortion pill reversal helpline, which is 1-877-558-0333. And that's a 24/7 helpline.
Wow.
Yeah, there's also a website, abortionpillreversal, all one word, all lowercase, .com.
And it's funny, when you told me about this, this was new to me, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people sitting there thinking, really? I never heard about this. Is this something that's relatively new? Tell us, where did this kind of come out of?
Well, we just heard about it last year ourselves in 2018.
Yep.
We'd received a package in the mail, and it was all about this abortion pill reversal process. And when I looked into it a little deeper, I had discovered that originally this seemed to have been started to becoming known to the public in around the year 2015, when it was made available to the public.
Yep.
In the beginning, it was kind of all started by a doctor. I'm sorry that I don't remember his name. I should have written it down, but a doctor who was helping women, there came a situation where a woman had taken the abortion pill, had experienced regret immediately after having taken it, and then came to this doctor in some way. I don't remember how she connected with him, but she had asked, is there anything that can reverse this, that can undo it? And one of the ways that they will help try to prevent miscarriages in some cases is to use progesterone. So he had kind of had a light go off, and he decided to try giving her some progesterone, and it happened to work. It was successful.
Wow.
But there is a caution. It doesn't work 100% of the time. There are some criteria. So it's not a 100% thing, but it is certainly worth the try.
Yeah.
The best time is to get this going 24 hours after as soon as possible after you've taken the abortion pill. But up until 72 hours after. So, you know, if you haven't gone quite past the 72 hour mark, you're probably, and you have not yet taken the second set of the abortion pill. And I think that many people think we call it the abortion pill, but it's really two sets of pills that you take within a certain period of time from the first one. So, you know, if you have not yet taken that second set, you can go and, you know, contact the abortionpillreversal.com. They will quickly, you know, try to talk to you, assess what's going on and how far along it's been since you took the first pill. Then they will also try to connect you with a doctor who can use the protocol on you within your area as close as they can get you.
Yeah.
So, you know, within that period, brief period of time, and without having taken the second set of pills, if you are facing regret, you certainly can try to have it reversed.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that people deal with on a regular basis, whether it be the pill or any other type of abortion, is there's often regret that comes right with it. And it is a permanent solution for a lot of these situations, obviously with any other abortions, but with this one, it's amazing that this was brought out, that it's been able to be effective in this.
Yeah. Yeah, in some cases, yes.
I was so happy that you were willing to give me this information, and you sent a video. It's called Becky's Story, so I thought I'd play that for you right now. So here's Becky's story about abortion pill reversal.
I discovered I was pregnant for the second time when I was just about 19 years old. I had had my first child at 18 years old, so the thought of having two children at 19 years old led me to believe that I needed to have an abortion with my second child. I visited an abortion clinic. I wasn't really told what was going to be happening to my body, wasn't allowed to see my baby on a monitor. I was basically told that my chemical abortion was going to be quick, convenient, easy to hide, all things that I needed. And I took the first RU486 pill. As I sat outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic, literally after just taking the abortion pill, I immediately felt regret and like I needed to try to stop what I just started. I searched on my phone and found abortionpillreversal.com. They had a hotline number that advised anyone who had wanted to reverse the abortion pill, who had recently taken it, to call. After I called the hotline, a nurse answered named Debbie, and she basically told me that there was still hope for me and my baby, but that I just needed to get progesterone into my body and continue with injections of progesterone for several weeks following the abortion pill. Planned Parenthood told me that this likely would not work and my child could very well be deformed. These words replayed in my head for the rest of my pregnancy. I was very scared, but after I saw my son on the ultrasound and heard his heartbeat, I was filled with hope and encouragement, and I just knew that God had intervened and that I still had a chance to save my son, and I was just extremely happy and grateful. I look at Zachariah and I am just so thankful. I feel blessed that he's here because I know that it wasn't likely that he would be, that I had tried to abort him. I just look at him and I could not imagine my life without him. What I like most about being a mom is coming home to my kids. They're always so excited to see me. It's mommy, mommy. And that makes you feel so good. And just looking at them, I would never give up. They're the reason I go to school, the reason I go to work. I just have so much to live for, and I love that. Abortion is not a magic eraser. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And raising children, being a mom, no matter how young you are, no matter the difficulties you're going through in life, is still a blessing. And for anyone who's considering reversing their abortion, I would encourage you, and I would be happy to support you and walk with you and talk to you and give you the encouragement that you're gonna need on that journey. I've known many women that have regretted their abortions, but I've never known one that has regretted choosing life for their child, because you don't. You love being a mom and you love those children once they're here.
Once again, that's Becky's story. That is a video that was put out basically showing Becky's story of abortion pill reversal. Well, I think that when it comes down to this, I mean, there's a conversation because, I mean, obviously this is what you guys talk. You talk to people all the time. I mean, again, if people have gone through that, you've seen the different ways that people are affected by it. You see how they're going through it, and you're there to talk to them when they've gone through it. You're there to talk to them beforehand, but also if they've gone through it, to help them through that process, which I think really helps to understand and I think gives you a voice when talking about something like this and how it can affect you.
Right. Yeah. That's what we do here through our abortion recovery program. So women that have had an abortion, and a lot of times there's no safe place to go. There's no safe place to talk. And interestingly, people would be surprised at the amount of women that are in the church that have had abortions, and they attend church. On average, the statistic is, on average, at least once monthly. And they are in a lot of pain, and they have regret for having done what they've done. You know, they faced a very difficult situation. Yet when they come into circles of people, they are faced, especially, unfortunately, in the church, they are faced with people that are highly opinionated. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that this is bad, but people who are highly opinionated for pro-life. But the thing is that it's good that we want to encourage abundant life. We want to encourage people to, you know, go through with a pregnancy. But what ends up happening in our passion for pro-life or pro-abundant life is that in our conversations, when we talk about it, when we even perhaps even when some pastors or priests preach about it, the women that have already been there and done that are sitting there with the pain in their hearts. And sometimes in our tone of voice or in our opinion, we are actually forcing them to stay silent and forcing them to keep it a secret for the rest of their lives. And that's really unfortunate because we need to do something with the pain. We have to have an outlet to let it out, because if we don't let it out in a safe way and in the proper way, what happens is we end up taking it out on our family. If we have other children, we end up perhaps taking it out on them. Because all these feelings, something will trigger us, or we'll be thinking about the past and something will trigger us. And then we're back in that that emotion from back to the time when we were in the crisis of becoming pregnant, or in the crisis of actually having aborted. So we really need to make the church a safe place for women to heal. And I mean, who better to heal women than Jesus?
Yep, absolutely. They need Jesus as much as any of us do. And that's the thing that when you look at, I think that's one of the things that gets lost in the whole debate on both sides, is the people that are going through this. You know, you can talk about statistics and they are valid arguments. I'm not going to say they aren't. However, you know, I had the conversation, and I've said this before, you have a conversation with somebody that wears an abortion is murder t-shirt, you know, and there's nothing, nothing necessarily incorrect about what that shirt says, but how many people are going to come to you and say, you know, I've been through an abortion, you know, I murdered my baby, I, you know, how do I get help? They're not going to come to you for help. They're not going to come to you. And a lot of people are looking for help. And that's one of the things. Other sins are forgivable, yet this one seems to not be for a lot of people, and they can't come forward with that. And I think that's one of the issues inside churches in general is the fact that we look at the issue, but we don't look at the person, and we want to be able to help this person, yet on the other hand, we're still standing so strongly against these other aspects of it. And so you're right. I think it's bigger in the church sometimes than it is outside the church, because it's acceptable outside the church, yet people are more ashamed of the fact that they got pregnant and not wanting to show that. They're afraid of the reaction of the people inside the church. And I think that's one of the hard parts, is how do we address these people that and still show them love without disagreeing with them. You know what I mean? It's a hard thing to do, but the realities are these people are hurting, you know, and maybe they have sinned, but we all have, and they need to find healing from that that pain that they're going through as well.
Yes, I agree fully. So let's talk about that. That when there's a statement, people are so afraid to admit that they'd had an abortion or that they are pregnant. The question here that we need to, as a church, as a community, and if we want to reach out to these women in love, we need to personally barrel down into that question. Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
Why are they so afraid? Well, there's a number of reasons. Shame would probably top the list.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a young person or even a person in their 20s, perhaps maybe they're still, you know, living at home, or they're not fully 100% on living on their own yet. There would be fear. And we see that here in our center when we counsel many young people. Mm-hmm. Fear. So fear of what? Well, fear of rejection, condemnation, fear of being gossiped about, fear of being misunderstood, fear of being judged. And, you know, it's really unfortunate, Scott, but we see this happen. And, you know, before I came to work here at Options, I had mixed feelings. I was one of these people that I was saying to my kids, my kids weren't of age to be talked to like this about it yet, but I was one of those parents that I would have threatened my kids saying, don't you dare ever get pregnant.
Mm.
Why would I be talking to them like that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that if I instill a fear, which I might think is a godly fear because I'm in authority as a parent over them, that actually will backfire. When I came to work here at Options and I saw a number of people of different ages that were young, you know, to see them come to a safe place like Options and talk about what they're going through and see the confusion and see the regret. You know, these young people have so much regret in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it comes out in the form of tears. They are so sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, they knew that maybe they shouldn't have been messing around, you know, having sex. They've been warned, you know, maybe their parents have prepared them. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they've had conversations, maybe not. But what I saw when I first started here changed the way I decided that I would talk to my kids about sexuality and about the possibility of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, I also had to come to a place because I saw the fear in these poor kids. And some of them said, I have no other option but to abort. I can't tell my parents, you know, like they have all kinds of fears. Mm-hmm. They have fears that for their family name, you know, some, and they have fear because some have had fear only because somebody else in the church got pregnant and they saw their parents' reaction in the car after church.
Mm-hmm.
Or they heard how their parents in the home talked about, in judgment, about some other young pregnancy or somebody who got, even adults who got pregnant out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we utter these kinds of words and opinions, we're actually pushing our own children, when they make the mistake of sinning sexually against our will, against what we've taught them, but yet we've talked to them in a way to instill fear in them, we are actually pushing them mm-hmm. toward having an abortion.
Absolutely. Well, and you see how in your own situation, sometimes you'd react differently than you would when you see other people. You don't understand the circumstance until you're in it yourself. And
But
making those statements before you, it's like the kids, and I'm sorry, not kids, but I mean, it's like the adults, the people that are married that make statements about having kids, and it's like, oh, I would never do that, or what are they doing, and you know how, and then you realize when you have kids, it's like, oh my goodness, I am so sorry for telling anyone that had kids how to do things, because you don't know until you're in it. And
that's right.
And I think you're absolutely right in that we give off this, we want to be a good Christian, so we're going to take a stance on this on a topic that is a Christian topic, and I use air quotes when I say this, and often becomes a Christian political topic, but I have a feeling that sometimes the people that are going through it are not the ones that need to hear a lot of these statistics or hear, you know, that it's wrong, because they probably already know that it's wrong. They've made this choice. They've made some life choices and they've gone through this. But the fact of the matter is Jesus doesn't give up on them. Mm-hmm. And Jesus doesn't want them to go through that pain. Everybody makes mistakes. But some mistakes or some choices have longer lasting effects, and you can still move through them, and Jesus can still bring heal from that. But those topics, how we approach it, like you said, if we make a stand against it sometimes, which is not a bad thing, but how we approach the people, it's mm-hmm. all about the people that are going through it. And Jesus wants every person to be healed and to come to him and to love him and be loved by him. And I think that's one of the things, you're right, that there's that wall, that invisible wall, that once we make a mistake, sometimes we're outside that wall and we can't come back in. And
right.
That's a discussion that we need to have, I think, inside our churches, to say, how do we make it known that you're still welcome here, even though you may have made a mistake, or you're still part of our family, because, mm-hmm. You know, there are extreme circumstances where, you know, and maybe especially back in the day, where people were no longer welcome in the family. It's not as prevalent now, but I'm sure there are circumstances. But the idea is that I'm not going to send my kids away because of that, you know.
Right.
And I'm much beside you in this, in that that we need to show them love and try and walk with them through these mistakes.
Right. Yeah. You kind of hit on a point that I wanted to talk about. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, and I mean, the thing is, the percentage of men who look at pornography in the church is really surprisingly high. It's mm-hmm. over 60%. I just found that out recently.
Yep.
What does the church do about that? The church will restore such a one, right? So it says here, and the thing is that something like that is pornography, is a hidden sin. You can't tell.
Yeah.
If someone smokes cigarettes, or they drink till they're blue in the face, or they beat their wife, all that stuff is usually quite private and you don't see it very easily unless you're really close to the people. And you really mm-hmm. see a lot of their lives, right?
Yep.
There are so many sins. We might be a liar, but then, I mean, obviously people around you probably, if you're a habitual liar, probably people have found you out,
and, yep,
you
probably,
know, but,
yep.
But even so, it's something that's within you and people tolerate that and they just get wiser to you, right?
Yep.
They'll just do other things. They, you know, and they'll leave you out, or they won't tell you certain things, right?
Yes.
Somebody who's a gossip, there's a way to deal with that type of person. There's somebody who has murdered. Well, they go to jail, and the church tries to restore them in jail if they can, if they have a prison outreach.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of sins that we can deal with, and we can tolerate it. But when it seems to come in the church to a woman who is pregnant and we see that beautiful bulging belly, mm-hmm. you know, and then we sit there and we judge.
Yep.
And we gossip behind their backs. The thing is, do you do that about your husband who's been on, you know, on the computer all night? You know, or mm-hmm. do you do that to your child who is stealing from the electronics store? Yep. You know, your 13 or sorry, your 15 to 18 to 21 year old that's going out every weekend and they're hooked on some kind of drug. You know, do you reveal that to people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you gossip about them behind their backs? No.
Yeah.
And God says in Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, when pregnancy is, you know, you can't help that belly. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person mm-hmm. gently. Gently is the word there. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. I mean, you know, some people might be tempted, some people might not. But with regard to the pregnancy, you know, out of marriage or, mm-hmm. you know, even pregnancies within a marriage that aren't that particular husband's children. But the word, the key here in this scripture is that we have a responsibility. God tells us, restore these women mm-hmm. gently.
Wow. Yeah, it's very simple. And I think when you start to take a look at all these different things you mentioned, you know, if you took out all of the people out of the church that have committed any of these acts, you'd have a very, very empty church.
That's right.
Your churches would be practically empty. There's no one
well, they would be.
Without sin. And
that's
and
right.
That's the part that trying to get across here is we say that all sin is equal. You know, the murderer that's in prison, you know what? We can still restore them. We can still do that. However, again, people are ashamed of some of the things they do, so they don't bring it forward. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like a lot of people inside the church do go towards abortion, because they would much rather go through that, even knowing some of the consequences, the side effects. They would still rather go to that than own up to their parents, to their church, and make anyone look like less of a Christian. And that's, I think that's just it's a tragedy.
It really is. But if what would it look like though, Scott, if
yep.
the church was a place that restored people gently instead mm-hmm. of gossiping behind their back or excluding them now because, well, you're a sinner,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's obvious that you are, you know, like what would that picture look like?
Yeah.
If we restored them gently, I think that we would have, I expect, like I've had conversations. I told you a little bit about my story with how I came here
yep.
and found that I was heartbroken by the fear in these young people, some of them mm-hmm. even in their 20s, fully adults, but yet they're still scared to tell their parents,
yep.
you know, and their parents would normally be the most supportive people,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they should be. So what I'm trying to say is that in my situation, to give you a picture or to give people a picture, is that I changed my heart. I mm-hmm. repented of my attitude that my kids had better not embarrass me by becoming pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son and a daughter at home right now. When I started working here and I saw what I saw in the counseling room, I changed, I repented to God, and I said, I don't want to do that to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked him to change my heart. And I willfully changed my attitude, and I talked to my husband and I said, you know, I don't want to be stern and strict and harsh with my kids about the issue of pregnancy. I want to talk to them and, you know, and I want to have an open relationship, and I don't want them to ever feel scared, so scared to tell me that they are pregnant, that they would go and have an abortion in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then see them live their lives in the church or out of the church, you know, accordingly in pain, and never, ever feel like they could tell us.
Yeah.
So we talked together, and then we went and sat down with our kids, and I bore my heart to them. I said, you know, I just want you to know that if ever it should happen that you do something that you shouldn't in a relationship with somebody and you become pregnant or you make somebody pregnant, I want you to know that we're here at home with love and with wide open arms, and we never want you to hide it from us, ever. Mm-hmm. We will be there to, I said, we will commit ourselves that, you know, if a girlfriend becomes pregnant and things aren't going well in the home because of that, we would open up our home. We would do everything we could to help this and support this woman. Mm-hmm. If our daughter got pregnant, we told them we would be really disappointed for a while, but we wouldn't yell at them. We wouldn't abuse them in any way, but that they will have to get over, mm-hmm. you know, the disappointment that we have. We're going to grieve it. But the point is that they've got a life, and life is a gift from God. So they have a gift from God within them. And we don't ever want to see them go and destroy that. Mm-hmm. Because that new life has a destiny. And that new life is going to make an impact in the world, just like our children will, just like we told them, just like you will, mm-hmm. and just like we are. And so we had a really nice open discussion. I still verge on harping at my children once in a while, saying, you know, just be very careful that yep. you don't give in to temptation. It's kind of hard as a parent to find that fine line, but the point is that overall, I have completely turned around with my stance. I will not be one that will kick my kids out of the home mm-hmm. if they find themselves pregnant. I will instead be proactive and try to help and support the life that God has given.
Well, and we wonder why a lot of young people are leaving the church today when... Again, this is the issue, is that they think they have to live perfect lives when the realities are we need to be able to admit our sins, but we also need to be able to accept them and help them walk through that, because that's part of life. We're going to make mistakes. It says in the Bible, the things I do not want to do, I do, and the things I think I got it mixed up there. But the realities are, the Bible talks about it. It's something that we're going to sin. We're going to make these choices that we know are wrong, but we do them anyways in the moment. Imagine the witness that we would have if we were able to say to these people, you know what, come and receive healing here. Jesus wants to walk through this with you. Imagine the witness. Mm-hmm. You know what? Hey, you made a mistake. Come to our church. You know, you're hurting. Yeah. Come to our church. You know, it's not about, you know, saying, you know, sin is okay. It's about acknowledging the sin and moving forward no matter what it is.
Right. Exactly. Love and acceptance is the key mm-hmm. when we are in the midst of a storm. And even if it's a storm that we have warned our children about.
Yep.
I just think love and acceptance is the key, no matter what happens.
Yep.
And rather than pushing them out the door because they're so scared to tell us that it's easier to go have an abortion. And then here we are in the church, strongly pro-abundant life. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I would easily say that I am a person that believes in helping life, right? I believe in pro-life, you know, the pro-life thing, but I'm not in agreement with the contentious part of it, mm-hmm. because that's what the contentious part of it is, what brings judgment. And as soon as women let's get back to women that are in the pews and away from the kids a little bit, but the same applies to kids. When kids hear it spoken and when women in the church hear it spoken, our judgments and our opinions on the issue of abortion, the harsh pro-life, you know, stance. And I'm not speaking against pro-life people. I'm a pro-life person myself. But the thing is that the words, you know, and how hard we go at stating our opinion actually, when we're dealing with people, you know, when we're dealing with the laws, it's good to have that harsh stance and be outright honest and descriptive. But when you're dealing with people, and in particular women and men as well that have had a part in it, you're dealing with feelings now.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with emotions. You're dealing with trauma, actually, because it is a crisis when they find themselves in an unexpected pregnancy. There's a lot of fear. So you're dealing someone with trauma. Do you really want to present the picture of harshness and murder and killing with people that already know all that and they're really sorry and they're really regretful and they're seeking help to get healing and they're seeking support for what they've done because they want to recover from it? It's just, it's not fair to them. And of course, that's going to eventually push them out of the church if they're surrounded by too much of that. And, you know, how can we expect people to stay when we don't have open arms and a loving heart?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm very glad that we've had this conversation here today. Candy Klotterman from the Options Pregnancy Center. Again, it's a challenge, not a condemnation. It's a challenge of us as a church to see how we can act and how we can change things to be able to help these people find healing from the pain. And again, talking about the abortion pill reversal, I mean, that's one of the things, again, you talked about earlier on in the beginning. I think that's one of the things, again, too. People do make mistakes, and again, to try to cover up something that they may feel is a mistake before. But they can find reversal in some circumstances. And again, I'd love it if you could give the information again for how people can find out about this if they have taken the abortion pill, or at least the first set.
Okay, so if a person has had taken the first of the two abortion pills and they have not taken the second set yet, and they are feeling regret at having taken the first pill, they can go to, on the internet, abortionpillreversal.com, and they can connect somebody with somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
But they could also call the 24/7 helpline, 1-877-558-0333, and they will help connect you to a doctor that is as close as possible to you.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can potentially, if it's within the 72 hours, you can have this protocol done.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, I mean, it's worth a try.
Yep.
Hopefully have the abortion reversed.
And I think that you think about the situation we've just been talking about. If that doctor had said, "Nope, sorry, you had the abortion pill. You're gonna live with it. I can't condone what you did," then we never would be at this point where we can help people recover after making that decision, help people find a way to reverse that. Because, like we said, there is often regret, realizing that maybe this was a quick decision, a rash decision. And as Becky had said in the video talking abortion pill reversal, is that when it comes to abortion, it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And
I think
people realize that afterwards, that, oh no, this is a permanent thing that I've done. And when in reality, this is something that is a temporary problem. And as she had said in this video, that she doesn't know anybody that has gone through with it and regretted it, or gone through with having the baby and regretting it. And that's a pretty powerful statement in itself.
Yeah.
So it's encouraging to hear that people are able to reverse this. Again, like you said before, not in all circumstances, but if you've been through that and you feel like you've made a mistake and you want to, there is help.
Yes, there is. And I wonder if I could just take a moment just to let people know too about our services, our post-abortion recovery program. We have a toll-free number. We offer, if you're a woman who's out there, or even a man, and you've had an abortion take place in your life at any time, We support people of all ages, of 12 years and up. You could call our support toll-free line at 1-866-870-3344. And if you happen to be in Regina, we have a number, 306-757-3344. Those are our support lines, and we welcome anyone who has had an abortion and is interested in taking the post-abortive program. By all means, call and inquire about it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It's again, it's been great to talk to you, and we look forward to talking to you again. And we love what you do at the center, and we look forward to hearing how things are continuing at the Options Pregnancy Center.
In 2 months.
Wonderful. And we'll talk with Melanie Materi next month, but great to talk to you this month, and we'll look forward to doing it again in the future. So thank you so much, Candy, for being here.
Thanks, Scott.
Once again, Candy Klauneman, she is the executive director with the Options Pregnancy Center in Regina. Don't hesitate to give them a call or check them out online, reginapregnancy.com. That is it for us for today. Coming up next, it is the Hour Quest Lunch. Have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.